Kelly Needham says that counterfeit friendship is hard to identify.
It's convincing. It looks similar, but it's not the real thing. And so we need to figure out then what is the real thing and how do we fight for that, because it's very important to our lives as Christians.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Adorned, for August 28, 2019.
So happy to be able to welcome back to Revive Our Hearts my sweet friend Kelly Needham. You've heard her here on Revive Our Hearts before. She's been on the broadcast with her husband Jimmy, who's a Christian songwriter, recording artist, worship leader. And Kelly and Jimmy have become dear friends. They've talked about their burden for adoption. We've talked about their family, and their kids are with them here today. Kelly, welcome to Revive Our Hearts. Whole family up from Texas.
Yes, we're here. We're glad to be here with our kids this time.
Yeah, the weather's a little different up here than it is down in Texas.
It is. We're always glad for that change, though.
Yeah. Well, we welcome you, and you've been such a sweet friend of this ministry. You blog at the True Woman blog often. You're going to be speaking at the Revive 19 conference just around the corner.
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
I'm very excited. I love the Revive conference, and so I'm happy to be there in whatever capacity. So I'm really humbled to get a chance to serve in that way.
And you're one of our ministry partners. How thankful I am for that. You and Jimmy have such a heart for the message of this ministry.
Mm-hmm,
you've been encouragers, prayer supporters, financial supporters, and our hearts beat alike in so many ways.
Yes.
So I'm really just feel like you're part of our Revive Our Hearts family and welcome you to talk about today a different subject than we've addressed before, but one that I think is so important. And my interest in this, you kind of piqued a couple years ago when my book first released called Adorned. It's on Titus 2, older women, younger women relationships. And I know you have such a heart for that.
Yes,
very much. You're involved in mentoring younger women and discipleship of college students. Mm-hmm. And you have such a heart for that. But no sooner was the book off the press than you said to me, I think it was in an email exchange, you said, did you happen to mention in this book anything about some of the potential dangers or pitfalls of these discipling relationships, how they can get off the track and can go in an unhealthy direction? And I said, this book was really long already, and we didn't have anything on that. And I think I may have said, I would love to have thought about that sooner, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And in God's providence, you had a book on your heart that you were getting ready to write, and now it's just being released. The book is called Friendish. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about what that means in a moment. The subtitle is Reclaiming Real Friendship in a Culture of Confusion. Mm-hmm. How did this whole topic of friendship gone awry, you call it friendish, how did that even come to be on your radar?
Well, I love friendship, and that's part of the reason that it became a concern to me is God has made me who I am through really great friendships.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing.
Yeah, who love Jesus and have really pushed me closer to him, that have been a support for me in hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was in college, I actually had a couple girls that I was mentoring, and one of them was struggling with some stuff in a friendship of hers, a different friend that she lived with. And I remember almost being just shocked in the way that they were enjoying their friendship, that to me, it was so unhealthy, but it was the first time I was seeing that.
What were some of the things made you think it was unhealthy?
My first concern was when she called and asked me to hold her accountable to how much time they were spending together. She was struggling in her classes, was not passing because of the hours that they were spending together. And the way she talked about it felt like an addiction, that she couldn't break free of it. But she didn't see it as a problem so much as just something she had to learn to rein in. And it became very ingrown. Their loyalty to one another was higher than any other loyalty, even to Christ. It led to some serious sin issues and other things. And I started to see that pattern happen, not just in her, but over years, I would see people in friendships, the expectations they had of those friendships were different than what I had known in my really great friendships. And so it caused me to think, what's going on here? On the outside, it looks good. They're going to Bible studies together, and they're going to church together, and they seem—
So these are Christian friends.
They're Christian friends. They're talking about Jesus. And they have an understanding of I need community. That's important.
Which is true.
Which is very true.
That was what Adorned was about.
Yes.
The message of women needing each other for their growth and their spiritual development.
It's very, very important for all of us. I mean, I would not argue that. So that was the reason I became interested in it, is because I saw this community, good friendship centered on Christ, to be such a valuable thing, that what I was seeing happening in these other relationships seemed to be off. And that was concerning because I wanted those people to enjoy really great friendships, and I wanted to enjoy, you know, continue enjoying those myself. And so I started just doing research, thinking about this, interviewing some of my friends who had been down those paths that had been very negative, asking them, how did that start? When did you start to see a change? And so that's kind of where the idea came from. And, you know, with your book, Adorned, part of the reason that I had anything to say on that is a lot of the negative friendships I had seen happen started as mentorships.
Wow.
And so I had seen that happen with a few of my close friends, and that was what prompted that email to you, because that had become a concern for me.
So what starts out as a really sweet gift,
yes,
and a good thing, and
yes,
healthy and helpful and constructive, even for spiritual growth,
yes,
can go awry.
Mm-hmm.
It can become obsessive, or as you said, ingrown,
yes,
and become something that is a war zone instead,
mm-hmm,
of a place for nurturing and growth.
Exactly. And I'm so thankful for your humility. I don't know if you remember, you actually asked me to read your book and see if there's anything in there that could have unintentionally, you know, led
then
somebody astray.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was anything that was, but that's something too that I was like, man, I want to be like Nancy when people have, you know, questions about my own book. But I'm really grateful for that and for your concern for that. That was the year too that I think the conference that year was all on mentorship. And
yeah,
so I
right.
think that's why it was just heavy on my heart to, you know, the Lord was growing in me a desire to put the guardrail up on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we really need this. We need mentors. We need spiritual moms. We need sisters to walk alongside us. But ultimately, we need Jesus. Our loyalty is first to Him and foremost to Him. But this idea of making a good thing too great or too important isn't new in any context.
Right.
We see it in
marriage. Such a strategy of the enemy.
It
how
is.
How he takes God's good gifts and makes them gods,
mm-hmm,
instead of God, capital G. We look to these things. It can be sex. It can be marriage.
Yes.
It can be friendship, women, friendships, mentoring,
mm-hmm,
these good things that we need. And yet he can, by misplaced affection, misplaced, mm-hmm, priority, can make them actually our undoing. And I have seen this. I remember contacting you after I'd seen this in a college student friend of mine who contacted me and said, I've become entrapped,
mm-hmm,
in this relationship with another college friend,
mm-hmm,
and it had turned into something really unhealthy. They both knew it, actually ended up with some sexual overtones,
yes,
and we'll talk a little bit more about how that can be a pathway for some women. But what started out as, you know, such a gift, a treasure that we can encourage,
mm-hmm,
each other, we can motivate each other, we can, you know, help each other in different ways, became really a noose around,
yes,
both of their necks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so thankful you've raised this concern, Kelly. How did you come up with the title, Friendish? Because I think that speaks to what your whole concern is here.
Yes. Well, we were looking for a title that would convey there's something good here, but it's not quite, something's off with it.
So you had to make up a word,
right,
coin a word.
And actually, all credit for that goes to Jimmy, to my husband. He really was,
yeah,
behind every title idea we had. But when you think about, you know, oh, that wall is red-ish, you don't think it's not true red.
Not quite.
It's red-ish. You know,
uh-huh,
it's not quite there. And so the idea was, what does it mean to be friend-ish? It's like you look like your friends, you're doing all the right things on the outside, but it's not quite there in the truest sense of what genuine companionship should be for those who follow Christ. It's off a little bit.
And don't you think a lot of this is being influenced by some voices in the culture that,
yes,
are talking about friendship in a way that is different than the biblical concept of friendship?
Oh, yes, very much so. Especially with now that we have social media and a lot of ways for people to watch the lives of other people, godly people and worldly people, we're seeing that influence, I think, translate even quicker. I did a lot of research for this book, reading secular books about friendship,
mm-hmm,
trying to hear what some of the voices out there are saying. And it was shocking to read what is becoming a new normal for friendship. And some of that—
Explain what that looks like.
Sure. And I would say some of it, too, for context, just comes from we are seeing people not get married. We're not seeing families, at least in the world, right? We're not seeing people get married. We have the largest single population that we've ever had in our nation. And so you have a lot of people who are not getting married and having kids. And so they're looking for a stability somewhere. And they're starting to look to friendship. And so some of these books that I read are giving examples of friendship that look like a marriage, that actually mimic this idea of marriage. They're exclusive. They're very physically affectionate. There's a lot of possessiveness. And I think for the Christian, that's something concerning. Our loyalties are first and foremost to Christ.
So they're promoting a brand of friendship that is actually a knockoff of marriage? Would that be a way of saying it?
Yes. In one of the books that I read for research, the woman talked about her best friend in a way that was trying to showcase how important that relationship is.
And so the woman's talking about a female friend.
Yes, she's talking about a female friend, her best friend, and she's trying to showcase, and this is how important this is. And she's talking to her husband and says to her husband, "You know I love you, but my best friend, so-and-so, is my soulmate." And the husband's response, she said, is, "Yes, I know that." You know, so you're seeing even a loyalty in some of these friendships that supersedes even their marriages, even if they do get married. There's actually a new popular wedding photo that's going around that you'll see the bride and the groom next to each other, and the picture's from the back. And the
bride
is holding hands intertwined with her maid of honor behind his back.
Wow.
And a lot of the comments about it that you'll see on Pinterest or other places is, "Oh, this perfectly describes my relationship with my best friend." And some of that, you know, for the world and those that aren't following Christ, to them, marriage is temporary. They're seeing marriage and divorce rates so high that they don't see those romantic relationships as being lasting.
And think that their girl friendships may outlast their marriage.
They do. And for a lot of people, that has been true of them, especially those who are not walking with the Lord. And so we're seeing a prizing of that relationship of friendship. We're seeing an elevation of it. And I think the unhealthiest form of it is usually that really exclusive, "This is my best friend." We're each other's best friends. They've formed this little tight-knit inner circle. It's very mimicking marriage. And it's becoming a normal, celebrated form of female friendship that is getting modeled to younger women and young girls. And so as a mom, that's something that has concerned me. And I want my daughters to have good friendships. I pray for that for them. Mm-hmm. I want them to have intimate, close companionship. That's important for their life.
And you're not saying, for example, if you're married, that you don't have other friendships, because your husband shouldn't be your only friend.
He cannot be.
But you're talking about something here that becomes a counterfeit for the good thing God wants us to really enjoy.
Exactly. And that's, I think, why I like the word counterfeit, because a counterfeit of something looks like the real thing. If you talk about counterfeit money, it's not because it looks like money from Russia. It looks like our money.
It's convincing.
It's convincing. Mm-hmm. It looks similar, but it's not the real thing. And so we need to figure out then what is the real thing and how do we fight for that, because it's very important to our lives as Christians.
So what are some of the, what's a counterfeit type of friendship that's concerning you as you're looking at the lay of the land here and what you see happening in a lot of women's lives?
Yeah. Well, I think the first one that's been one of the easiest to see is what we've talked about a little bit, is mimicking marriage. That we don't see in the Bible any other relationship besides the marriage union that is meant to be exclusive
and permanent.
And permanent and binding. That when, obviously, if my husband got a job across the country, I'm going with him. Right? That should happen because we are now one flesh. And the reason that that's important for that to remain is because marriage is shadowing something. It's shadowing Christ in the church, and that is important for us to maintain.
An eternal relationship of Christ and his bride.
We need those distinctives to be there. And that doesn't mean we don't need friends, but it means that our friendships are going to look different than what a marriage relationship looks like. And so one counterfeit is friendships that mimic marriage. They have the same kind of feel. There's exclusivity and...
We even read some about covenantal friendships, like BFF, meaning we're committing to each other, that this is a long-term relationship. What do you see as the problem with that?
Sure. There's actually a new movement advocating for covenantal friendship. And I think it's unhealthy because friendships are not supposed to look like marriage. And it puts pressure and expectations on that relationship that are not meant to be there, and leads often people into struggles with same-sex attraction, which in some ways shouldn't be surprising, right? If you're taking two friends and trying to mimic the marriage relationship, marriage is meant to be consummated in a sexual union. And so if we put the language around it of I'm falling in love with my best friend, which is, you'll see in the world talking about it that way, or this is the love of my life, but they're talking about their best friend. This is my soulmate. You're shaping how you think and how you frame that relationship in a way that shouldn't be surprising that we see people then tempted to express their affection in real physical ways that are inappropriate for friendship. And we need physical touch and hugs from a friend. And God has meant for us to be ministered to in that way, in appropriate ways, but it easily becomes inappropriate and unhealthy and a form of bondage.
My guess is there are two kinds of people listening to this conversation. There are those who are saying, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm in that kind of friendship, or I have a friend who's in that kind of friendship, or you know, they're just saying, yes, you're right, this is a problem. I think we have some other people, maybe more my generation, who are listening and thinking, what in the world are you talking about?
Yes.
Because that's not the concept they have, and they haven't seen maybe what you're talking about. And I do think it's probably more common among your 30s and down younger women. Mm-hmm. You've seen this with college students. I've seen it with college students, younger single women. But it's not unheard of with more mature and older women, would you say?
No, it's not. In doing a lot of interviews for writing this book, I interviewed people, sometimes via email, sometimes over the phone, that were in their 40s and 50s. And sometimes these women were married and been married for a long time, but some loneliness that they were experiencing in their life began to be met in a friend, and they just clung really tightly to each other. And in some ways, probably in the beginning, in a healthy way, mm-hmm. That there was a really healthy linking of arms, that then it began to become ingrown, and they're looking to one another for things that really they should only be looking to Jesus for. And
that's a key point there. Whether it's in marriage or friendship with two women, looking to that friend, that mate, anyone mm-hmm. or anything to meet needs in our lives that ultimately only Jesus can meet.
Exactly. That's a concern in any relationship. I mean, you can see that in a parent-child relationship mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
And so any human relationship, this can happen. And I think maybe we're familiar with the experience of that in marriage. I'm thankful for the marriage books that exist that are helping warn of those things. They're not demonizing marriage. They're saying marriage is really important, but it's not ultimate. And, you know, my heart has just been to communicate the same thing with friendship. Friendship is really important. We really need it, but it's not ultimate. And we have the fountain of living waters, you know, in Jeremiah 2. God calls himself the fountain of living waters. He is the only fountain of living waters. We cannot find the source of living water anywhere else. And the concern that he had with the people is they had left him to go to broken cisterns. And so anything—
And they can't satisfy.
And they won't satisfy. They're
not
broken
lastingly.
Cisterns. And so friendship, our children, marriage, ministry, I mean, anything else, these good things, if we're going to it for life and ultimate security and significance, then it's going to disappoint, and it's not God. And so we need friends ultimately to link arms with us to pull us back to the fountain of living waters. And so I think that's really the primary counterfeit you see in all its expressions is when a friendship begins to lure you away from the living waters of Christ, not toward it.
Replacing Jesus or bypassing him. Even while you're doing, you know, Christian things together.
Exactly. I think that's what's so tricky about it and why some people don't see it until they're too far mm-hmm. down the road.
Right.
And why it's hard in mentorship as well. You're here meeting with another woman and you're talking about Jesus and you're studying the Bible together. You're going to Bible studies and you're doing things together. And usually the first sign of when that has become unhealthy is, say, for example, that woman who's mentoring you begins to mentor somebody new and you start to feel jealous or concerned that she won't be your mentor, she'll be somebody else's. And mm-hmm. if it is so important to you that that woman is your mentor and only yours, it's a sign that they're becoming to you something higher than what a mentor is supposed to be. A mentor is supposed to lead you into more dependency on Christ, not them. And in friendship, too, when it becomes that friend makes a new friend and you're jealous of them and you're concerned about that, or that friend of yours, that close friend moves away mm-hmm. or gets married and mm-hmm. you see their season of life changing, mm-hmm. their limitations change, and you think internally you have that sense, I'm not going to be okay if that happens.
Right.
That's a sign that something's wrong, because while there should be grief when a friend moves, like that's healthy.
Sure.
I should grieve when my good friends move away or things change.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be ruined. I have Christ. He's my rock. That's how we should feel about it. But I think what I see happen a lot is those life stage changes or those moves or that friend making a new friend or something interfering in the friendship becomes something that totally destabilizes you, ruins you. That's a sign that they've replaced Christ in some way in your life, and that's not okay. The answer is not cling to the friendship tighter. It's to cling to Christ. And not to say that all of that friendship was wrong or negative and that something good wasn't there. It's just time for recalibration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it we see it happen in a lot of these friendships, but it looks very godly on the outside. That's what can be so tricky about it.
As you're talking, I'm thinking that this may be more of a younger woman phenomenon, mm-hmm. but all of us have had issues with friendships in or out of marriage mm-hmm. where the friendship has become to us more than it could
yes.
possibly be or than it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. And then we lose the benefit and the goodness and the joy mm-hmm. of what was intended to be a good gift. So I think no matter what age women are, this is a topic that we need to talk about. God made us, not just women, but women and men. He made us to be relational.
Mm-hmm.
He made us to function in community.
Yes.
There's no such thing as solo Christianity,
right.
going it alone. So we're not talking about, you know, rugged individualism here, but healthy, life-giving friendships that point us to Christ
yes.
instead of causing us to be selfish or mm-hmm. asking something of the friendship that it can't possibly give. And I'd like to say to some of the, you said you've seen this maybe in some women in their 40s and 50s. I'm now in my 60s,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking to some of my friendships over the years where they move too much in this direction
mm-hmm.
or where there was an unhealthy dependence
yes.
on that relationship. And I'll say something else. Moms and grandmoms, a lot of your daughters
mm-hmm.
and granddaughters, college students, young singles are struggling with some of these issues. So you need to understand this
yes.
so that you can be the right kind of friend
mm-hmm.
to those younger women in your life and can know how to. That's how we first connected on this subject was because I came to you, Kelly, and said,
yes.
I've got a friend who's struggling with
mm-hmm.
this. And you had written on the subject, you had blogged on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, in fact, I gave my young college friend, I sent her links to some mm-hmm. of your blog posts that you had written for Revive Our Hearts because they were so good.
Mm-hmm.
And she read them and she said, this is exactly what I'm going through. So I know
yeah.
it spoke to a need in her life, and I was so glad to have a resource
mm-hmm.
to be able to share with that struggling
yes.
young woman.
Well, and some of why I wanted to write a book about it is I realized, as you said earlier, when I would talk to people about this, they were in those two camps.
Yeah.
Either they were like, you finally, someone is describing my life. I got hundreds of emails from women when I first started writing about this saying, this is my life story and I've never told a soul because I've yeah. never known how to talk about
mm-hmm.
this. No one's ever addressed it.
Right.
And then at the same time, a whole other group of people who were looking at me like a deer in the headlights going, what in the world are you talking
yeah.
about?
Right.
But we need each other. The girls that I know that are struggling with this need their moms and their grandmothers.
Yes.
They need their ministry leaders at church to understand this so they can help disciple and train and shepherd them in what healthy community looks like.
Well, your book is going to be a great tool in that. We're going to pick up this conversation mm-hmm. tomorrow, but I want to just mention the name again. It's called Friendish, Reclaiming Real Friendship, not counterfeit,
mm-hmm.
but real friendship in a culture of confusion. It's written by Kelly Needham. She's got a lot of wisdom. This is a scripturally grounded book, something that's going to help mm-hmm. you think through these issues, whether it's for your life or for the life of someone you're mentoring or encouraging or a daughter. And we're making that book available this week as our way of saying thank you. When you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts, we're pouring into the lives of women around the world and addressing subjects like this. Your gift helps us do that. So when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts this week, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of Kelly's book. Be sure to ask for it when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. Ask for the book Friendish as you tell us that you'd like to make a donation to this ministry. You can also visit us online. You can read a transcript of this entire conversation. You can see some other resources we've posted there that will be helpful to you as you're dealing with this subject. And when you make your gift, be sure to ask for a copy of Kelly's book called Friendish. That's the word friend with I-S-H on the end. Not quite friend, friendish. We're going to talk more about what that friendishness, there's a new word for you, looks like when we continue this conversation tomorrow with Kelly Needham. Be sure to join us again here on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth wants to help you develop friendships that honor Christ. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.